Wrigley's Spearmint Gum presents The Howard Miller Show. Now here with music on records is Howard Miller.
Thank you very much, Joe Foss. Hi once again from Chicago, where all of a sudden we had a flash snow blizzard here, and a couple of inches of snow fell on our little old pumpkin heads this morning. It started along about 3 o'clock this morning, and it's still sort of flurrying and blowing outside. It's sort of a miserable wet day. But if you're nice and dry, that's the main thing. You just stay comfortable and contented with Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum, because today we're going to bring you the excitement of an interview with Rock Hudson. He was in our town yesterday. This is his town, of course, born and raised here. And so you'll be presented to Rock Hudson, and Rock Hudson will meet you across the nation for Wrigley Spearmint. Before we do, however, let's listen to Dinah Shore with Shantae, Shantae.
Oh, Shantae, Shantae, sing a little Paris song. Shantae, Shantae, everybody sing along. Let's all sing when any little thing goes wrong. Too late, toodaloo, sing with me, merci beaucoup. Toodaloo, toodaloo, everyone shantae.
Were you on the wrong side of the bed when you were wrote? Did a leaky fountain pen redecorate your clothes? Did you have a snack at night which didn't quite agree? Let's do what they do, the people of Paris.
Chante, chante, sing a little Paris song. Chante, chante, everybody sing along. Let's all sing when any little thing goes wrong.
Did you lose a kiss because your lover has a cold? Did you go to buy a bargain after it was sold? Did you buy a ticket when you could have entered free? Let's do what they do, the people of Paris.
Chante, chante, sing a little Paris song. Chante, chante, everybody sing along.
That's Dinah Shore, just as talented and fine a little girl as you ever want to meet. Dinah Shore with her pretty new Victor record called Chante, Chante. Translated in the French, of course, I guess it means sing, sing, which is a pretty good idea for everyone to sort of keep your philosophy happy. Keep on the upside, and the best way to do it, of course, is to sing your cares and troubles away. Now, the other way is to sort of chew them away. Chew them away with Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum, because here is always a delightful, pleasant treat. Any time of the day or night, perhaps after a big meal or in between meals, it's light, it's wholesome, it's delicious, and of course, it's always refreshing. So why don't you plan to have always this delightful refreshment we call Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum? You get some today at your favorite dispenser of fine products. Well, yesterday, visiting here in the city of Chicago was Rock Hudson, a former member of the Chicago set who went out to Hollywood to become a rather notable picture star. We thought it might be interesting for you today to listen to some of the things that we cut on wax with Rock yesterday. Rock, apparently, Universal International is going to give a great build-up, publicity and otherwise, to this current motion picture that you've completed just recently called Battle Hymn. It certainly seems to warrant it, doesn't it?
I think so, yes.
This actually is the life story of a very great man, Colonel Dean Hess, so that in large measure this is all fact, not fiction, is it not?
Yes, that's true.
Did you have an opportunity of meeting Mr. Hess or Dr. Hess?
Yes, I did. He worked on the picture as a technical advisor.
Uh-huh.
And was a pilot in the air battle sequences.
Oh, he actually was. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Now, what sort of planes did you use? Did you stick strictly to fact there and use vintage of the Second World War, and then in the Korean War, or did you get modern jet planes to use?
We used P-51s. Uh-huh.
You're not a flyer yourself, are you, Rock?
No.
How do they simulate shots in which You are presumably flying an airplane. This is a technique that Hollywood has devised. It has always been fanciful to me. How do they achieve it?
Well, it's kind of difficult to explain. It's, I'll try. They have a screen with a dummy plane in front of it.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time, just the cockpit.
Yes.
And on the screen is projected from behind the clouds
the surrounding area. Well, yes. We do the same thing in television, of course. We call it rear screen projection. Is that what they call it out there?
Yes.
Well, then it's
back
understandable.
Projection,
as a matter of fact, I suppose that they employ that device or that mechanical value to a great many shots out there, don't they? Also in background shots of various waterfalls that might occur, or rivers, or oceans, or battleships?
Yes, it's that. It's also in automobile shots, taxi cabs. You'll see the traffic going on behind.
Yes. As a performer, Rock, do you find it difficult to make believe, as Hollywood so frequently requires you to do? In other words, if you're a pilot and you're up there trying to show some sort of emotion in the cockpit of an airplane, but really you're just sitting on the ground level, is it hard for you to portray the fact that you're under this great tense emotional drive or impact?
Well, for me, it's tremendously difficult because if you're, as you say, doing some sort of a tense, dramatic scene and you're looking out and seeing about 30 faces looking at you.
It's pretty hard to be the pilot being shot down. Let's talk a little bit about the picture itself. Now, this is the true story of Colonel Dean Hess, the minister from Marietta, Ohio, who of course became a great fighter pilot during the Second World War, and then actually your motion picture, Battle Hymn, concerns itself mostly with the Korean skirmisher war, doesn't it?
That's right.
And what happens to Hess's life over there, Rock?
Well, he goes over there to take over a command of a group of Korean fighter pilots to teach them how to fly the P-51.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, he is forced into battle himself, after saying from World War I that he would never kill again. And he's forced into doing it, which is a tremendous emotional upset for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he also, at the same time, forms an orphanage over there, which in his mind redeems himself from the few mistakes that he made in World War II.
Yes.
In Germany.
Now, that most notable mistake, and I wonder if it's ever been borne out, he was presumably mistaken in the dropping of a bomb, or by accident the bomb dropped, froze, and it fell finally on a school and killed a lot of youngsters?
Yes, it was an orphanage.
Yes. What does Hess say about that? You had a chance to talk to him. Does he admit to that horrible catastrophe or that error that occurred?
Yes.
He does?
Yes, he does.
Well, now, this has been the result, then, of this new theory that he has of trying to make up for a previous mistake in life.
That's right.
But actually, of course, that was not his error, because it was something about the bomb drop itself that froze in its control, did it not?
That's correct. But at the same time, I'm sure that anybody under the same circumstances would feel terrible.
Yes,
about
of course.
It. For example, if there was an automobile accident, if somebody was driving, if you were driving and somebody stepped out in front and you ran over them, you'd feel guilty.
It doesn't assuage your grief
at your life.
That's right. Let's go back in the background of Rock Hudson for just a minute. Now, Rock, actually, you're a member of the Chicago set, or at least the North Shore, because you were a student up there at which high school?
New Trier High School.
New Trier High School?
I met you.
And then what was it that took you from the Middle West out to Hollywood, California to become a motion picture star?
Just exactly that.
You just wanted to go to California to be a motion picture
star.
Right. But actually, it's not quite that easy. You're liable to start a whole hedger of people traveling from their hometowns to Hollywood because they want to reach your star station.
That's
and it
not
isn't quite that simple, is
it's
it?
It's not quite that quite true. I went out to go to college. I wanted to go to USC.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a year and a half later I finally got into pictures, which is the reason behind wanting to go to college at USC rather than, shall we say, Northwestern.
Yes, in other words, it would get you close to the people who could probably find you
exactly.
by your exposure to them.
That's right.
Did you do a lot of amateur theatrics in school when you were here in high school at that level?
Not too many, no.
Had you had inspirations towards those lines in those days,
though? Yes, oh, yes.
Where did you ever, along the line, happen to be a mail carrier? There was something in the poop sheet that the Universal people sent out that said you were a mail carrier for a while.
That was in Winnetka.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do, deliver special deliveries or something?
No. Just a regular mailman.
Regular mailman on the road.
4 months, yeah.
Well, what was this, just a summer job? You certainly didn't intend government service.
I was discharged in spring and spent the summer on the beach.
Mm-hmm. Rock,
fall. And in the fall, took a job because...
You wanted some extra money, sure. You were fortunate in that Universal, just about the time that you arrived in Hollywood, decided that they were going to start a different type of publicity campaign or build-up for their various artists. They were going to take one artist each year and do a tremendous amount of build-up on that one artist. Isn't this the new theory that they have out in Hollywood and that you happen to be that person?
I don't think so.
Perhaps I'm mistaken. I know that a couple of the studios had done it, and I just thought that it might be that Universal also planned that idea or that attitude in the build-up.
Not to my knowledge.
Uh-huh. But certainly, suffice to say, your career has been tremendous out there. You started actually with your first big hit was Magnificent Obsession, was it not?
That's right.
And that was the same picture that made Robert Taylor.
That's correct.
From the standpoint of a performer like yourself, Rock, what is it that makes a star besides his own ability? Is it the picture that you're given, the build-up? What is it actually that contributes more to the success of a performer like yourself?
Well, I think an awful lot of luck is necessary, and timing is tremendously important.
Timing in motion pictures, just as it is in our music circle, which, of course, has to do with phonograph records. Well, I'm certainly not going to depreciate the talent that you bring to the films, though, Rock, because without that, people don't get too far in Hollywood. We like to think that it is built up. But generally, you've got to perform before those cameras in order to get an acceptance to the public. I think all the picture stars agree to that, don't they?
Yes.
What actually is your ambition in motion pictures? Now that you have reached a star station where you can pretty generally choose material, what sort of material do you look for? What would you like to be cast as? What type of roles?
Well, no set type. I don't ever want to be... typed as, shall we say,
the butler.
A butler or a comedian or a doctor or whatever. I like to have varied roles. I like to have a different role each picture.
Is this generally disadvantageous to the career of a performer like yourself, you think, to be cast for a type?
Over a period of years, I think yes.
It's much better that you be given some versatility so that you can show an acting profession.
I think so.
Rock, I certainly appreciate your stopping here. You're going from Chicago back, or rather farther east. You're going to Marietta, Ohio for the world premiere of this picture, Battle Hymn. And then what will the plans carry across country for a promotional tour?
Yes, we're going on to New York and to Boston and to Washington, D.C.
And generally these pictures will open up under your fine deft hand because you'll make appearances with the pictures?
Yes.
And then here in the city of Chicago, it officially opens at the Chicago Theater on February 21st. I presume you will not be back for that one.
I don't think so, I'm sorry to say.
How soon will you be starting another picture, Rock?
The middle of March.
Obviously, the script is selected and it's been cast.
Yes.
And so forth. This is the third or fourth, or is it the fifth picture in a row, that you've made with the same producer and director. Have you found that this is to your advantage?
Oh, yes. Very much.
Why is that?
Well... there's always, at the beginning of a picture, when you're working with a new director, shall we say, or cast, there's always a couple of weeks where you have to get rid of the strangeness of, you have to be at home with them,
uh-huh.
You know. And if you know them well before the picture starts, why, you don't have any inhibited feeling
yes.
when you have to start performing in front of the camera.
In other words, in this particular case, the director knows you, he knows your little foibles, he knows mm-hmm. the psychosis that prevents you from perhaps doing something well or something else better.
Yeah.
Rock, thank you very much again, I say. I appreciate your stopping here. I know it's a real busy schedule for you. I want to wish you the best of luck. To my understanding and knowledge of this picture, this is likely to turn out to be the big picture of the year. Battle Hymn starring Rock Hudson, Martha Heyer, Dan Duryea. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Well, this is Howard Miller for Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gums, saying that we hope you've enjoyed meeting Rock Hudson. I know he enjoyed meeting you, and we'll see you tomorrow at the same time for Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Enjoy it today. Goodbye, all.
This is the CBS Radio Network, the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.